Well, we've had all the introductions. We've had all the pomp and circumstance. We've had all the fuss and feathers. But it's time. It's time for Dodger Baseball.
I want you to know that I told you how I didn't cry for Coco. This right now, like water, like it choked me up a little bit. That was a beautiful intro. It's probably the best one we've ever had. I don't know how we could top that one. That was really good.
If we actually had Vin Scully in here saying it's Dodger baseball.
That's if we could ever. If I could have one guest ever on our show, it would be Vinny.
I feel like I would be able to talk to Vin Scully normally because like I'm not really that. You know, in.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, it's just an old guy. All right. And like, I could talk to him.
Yeah. But then I'd
like
be
you,
the.
You would just be like.
Yeah.
Blankly staring at him.
I'd be the Chris Farley. Hey, Vinny, remember that one time when Mike Piazza hit that home run?
Be like, yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Like, remember when you made that call in the World Series? He's like, yeah, that was great. That was amazing.
No, like, he's one person that, oh, man, I'm going to write him a letter.
You're writing him a letter?
I am. And then you go, look at, we're nobodies. We have a podcast that has like 50 listeners, so you can pretty much say whatever you want to say, and I mean, no one's going to know, you know, You know,
he just goes off the rails.
Yeah, you know.
He's like, let me tell you about that piece of shit, Frank McCourt. We're like, oh. Like, damn, Vin's fucking...
There was this one time that me, Eric Carlos, Mike Piazza, and Todd Zio ran a train on some lady on the...
Dude, that would be amazing. He's like, me and Tommy Lasorda tag team chick in the dugout. Like, oh, shit.
For those fans that are listening, you like that how I brought up... Piazza, Carlson, Zeal, huh? I like that. Todd Zeal, that's some old school stuff right there.
I know Mike Piazza. That's it.
Well, so the Dodgers, I mean, obviously it's not their award, but you know how like in sports there's the Rookie of the Year award?
Yeah.
Right. Well, for baseball, the Dodgers are kind of synonymous with Rookie of the Years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had more Rookie of the Years than any other team in baseball. And so in that respect, it's almost kind of like a Dodger award, you know. Mm-hmm. And multiple times we've had multi years where there was a Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, in the early to mid-90s, we had five in a row.
Damn.
And that wasn't the first time that's happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, the first one, of course, was Eric Karros, and then Mike Piazza, Raul Mondesi, Hideo Nomo, and then Todd Hollinsworth. Well, anyway, in that time frame, though, in the 90s, Mike Piazza and Eric Karros were really close friends. They were like best friends. They were like besties on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Then I forget what year it was. Maybe like 94 or 5. No, I don't remember what year it was. Dodgers made a trade, and they brought over Todd Zeal from the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zeal, Karros, and Piazza were like best friends, you know. And so that's why I mentioned them, because they were always hanging out together. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have two Rookie of the Years, Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger. maybe this year we could have a number three. I mean, it's not too far-fetched.
What rookies do they have this year?
I think a big one that people are talking about are Walker Buehler, a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some surprises, I think, this spring training. I don't remember his name yet, but it's Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. John Peter? That sounds too simple, but I don't know. But maybe that is... but he's doing really well. There's one other guy too. They're like newer names, so I have to get more accustomed to them. But the reason why I don't know them that well is because they're not like a Corey Seager or a Chad Billingsley, where it was like kind of like the hype,
yeah,
as they were going up through the system.
Mm-hmm.
These are kind of like newer guys that even though they're good, I don't think there was as much hype.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the leading candidate for a Dodger Rookie of the Year would probably be Walker Buehler at the moment, but we'll see how that goes.
Has there been a rookie that you thought nothing of, really? You're like, oh, I'm sure they'll be all right. And then they went on to be like great, and you're like, holy shit, did not expect that whatsoever.
Maybe, well, I mean, it's only been a year, but maybe Cody Bellinger.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think people were looking at him to be a solid outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last year was a year that I don't think anybody would have predicted.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's no, decrease in his skill on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe last year was just a fluke and he did, let's be honest, what he did was kind of like unheard of.
Yeah.
So you can't expect him to continue those numbers throughout a season, mm-hmm. a second season, you know? But if he can retain some of that power,
yeah,
and the consistency, and maybe even grow a little bit from last season,
because
in the playoffs, my God, they had his number.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was horrible in the World Series, especially, you know? So, I mean, if you can continue that, that would be surprising,
mm-hmm.
you know, because again, like, I mean, everybody knew that when Corey Seager came up in 2016, it was a shoe-in already,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Ballinger, though, I think it was kind of a little more of a surprise.
Do you have a ticket yet for any Dodger game?
Yeah, so I'm not going opening night
tomorrow.
I have a chance to go, but the ticket price is kind of, I feel, a little too out of my range.
Yeah.
You know? I could afford it, honestly, but I'd rather not, because it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
And I want to see if I can go to other games, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to the following game on Friday, which is the Kirk Gibson bobblehead night. That's the one I want. I was like, when I saw that bobblehead, I'm like, yes, that's the game I'm going to.
Okay, so you're going to walk into Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
You're going to walk through, you're going to get your ticket scanned, walk through the turnstile, whatever the fuck it is.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going first?
Honestly, I think the first thing I want to do is just look at the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I want to do. I mean, I don't know when we're getting there. Hopefully, we get there pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off that day, so we should, unless my brother has to work, you know. But I just want to get there early and just look at the field. That's like what I want to do. Like, that's
a little blood will rush down to your...
That's... Yeah. That's like... it's honestly like... That's my dream, you know? It's just to, you know, like... Because the perfect night for me would be just to go to sleep and have a dream where I'm just in Dodger Stadium on the field, empty, just place to myself. You know what I mean? The lights on, you know, whatever, you know? Like, that's what I want, you know what I mean? And it's like the most gorgeous ballpark in the history of mankind. You know what I mean? Like... I mean, even the Romans look at Dodger Stadium and go, oh, man, we built the Coliseum, what the hell?
Do you think if you got a chance to stand on the field of the empty, like, stadium, do you think you'd get, like, a little choked up?
Yeah. Yes. I remember the first time I got to be on the field. I've been on the field a lot,
uh-huh.
honestly.
But empty?
No, never empty. But the place I would go to, if I was empty, I would go, there would be two places I would go. One, I would go to the was the mound,
because
mm-hmm. There's so much history on that mound.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many great pitchers, mm-hmm. you know. I would try to kind of like pretend to be one of them, you know, and relive that, you know, relive it. And then second would be to go to center field. Because one of my all-time favorite Dodgers is Duke Snider. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that Duke never got to roam center field in L.A. At Dodger Stadium. He was only here for the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. But it's still, in my head, that's still Duke Snider's ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would want to go out there too. And then third, I guess, maybe the batter's box. Mm-hmm. But the mound and center field are where I would want to be, just to sit there, just to stand there and take it in.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I remember the first time I went on the field, I was, okay, so I don't know if anyone knows this or not, but I used to be in marching band in high school. And we were invited to play on the field for opening day. Mm-hmm. It was my first ever opening day. And we get to go on the field. And as soon as we got onto the warning track, now we're trying to get on the field, but I was like, no, like I have to take this moment. So I went and touched the dirt, you know, like, oh, and then I went and touched the grass, and then like, hey, come on, you know, and I'm like, oh, sorry, you know, because we're going to, you know, play, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first time, and that was amazing. Yeah. But, dude, like, I've been excited that finally tomorrow we get to enjoy this next season.
Yeah.
And then then it's the race to the postseason, you know, which I'm ready for again. You know, we need to get back there and win that one more game. Mm-hmm. But when you play that intro, and I heard Vinny, mm-hmm. like I was sounding like I'm being honest with you, like it did kind of choke me up, and that made me more excited about the season than I've ever been so far up to this point. Because cause hearing Vinny say that,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, man, that's like, it's powerful, you know? Like, I don't know.
Do you think if you ever got to throw the first pitch, would that make you cry?
No, I don't think I would cry. I know I would throw a strike, dude. Man, I waited all my life for that. You know, I'm not gonna mess that up. You know, I'm not gonna be like who was it? 50 Cent or whatever, and like bowl it into the dugout, whatever. No, like I would take full advantage of that. But I don't know what would make me cry. Honestly, like I'm not much of a crier when it comes to stuff, to stuff like that. But if we won the World Series, would cry. I almost cried when we lost the World Series. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Quick baseball question. Why is a strike a K or a backwards K or whatever the fuck?
You know, that question, I don't know the answer to truthfully. I know one of the things they say is like K, like a knockout. Okay?
Yeah.
Even though they don't call it a knockout, but that's what it's supposed to kind of mean.
Yeah.
But there's two ways of striking out. There's swinging and looking at a strike as it goes by.
Uh-huh.
So when you swing at a strike, it's a little more like it's a little more like forgivable. Uh-huh. So it's a K for a knockout. But when you strike out looking, like you didn't even attempt to swing.
Yeah.
That's a little more in baseball like in the baseball world and community.
Yeah.
That's kind of more circles. Like you're an idiot. Like, why didn't you swing? You know what I mean? So they flipped the K around until what I think happened is they backed like an 18 something. Some guy was keeping score or whatever, you know. And there was this guy like saying, "I'm the best," you know. And then all of a sudden he goes and strikes out, and then so he puts a K, and then he goes up there like, "Ah, it's okay, I'm still the best." And then he struck out again. And then he's like, no way, I'm still the best. I don't care what any of you say. And he went up there and struck out looking the third time. He's like, what? I'm putting it backwards. So just so everyone knows that this is the one you didn't swing at because you're an idiot. That's what I think happened. I don't know. Those are true events, but I'm pretty sure that.
You're like that in my head. Yeah. That's what happened. That's all that matters, dude. You make your own truth.
Yeah.
Fuck facts.
But I'm excited, dude. I'm excited.
It's Dodgers Giants, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the way it should be. I don't understand why baseball doesn't allow it should always be Dodgers Giants, It should always start that way, and it should always end that way. You know what I mean? Like that's what baseball is meant to be. You know, like
Dodgers, Giants, and Red Sox, Yankees.
Yeah, and then you know, for all the Midwesterners that believe that they have a big rival too, it'll be the Cubs and Cardinals. Yeah. No, like man,
you're like talking shit right
now. No, okay, so like, Cub and Cardinal fans think they have the biggest rivalry. Like, oh, you know, we're you know,
I've the never Cubs even
and,
heard of that rivalry.
Yeah, it's a lower tier rivalry. It's like Dodgers and Angels. It doesn't really exist. You know what I mean? But it's just that, you know, but to them it does, you know.
It's just like, aw.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like they want to fight one another, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, but I still even think that Dodgers and Giants are the premier rivalry. Like, not even Yankee Red Sox, but I think if you were to ask, like, the baseball community or fans, you know, they would always, most of them would pick Yankees and Red Sox over Dodgers and Giants. Which is retarded. That's just, you know, it's just because of the propaganda and East Coast bias, you know what I mean? But,
curse.
Yeah. But I have solid, legitimate, like, arguments for why Dodgers and Giants are better. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I'll go over it real quick, right? Because I don't want to take up too much time on the podcast. But, like, Dodgers and, so wait, Giants, Boston and New York. Okay. It started with the whole Babe Ruth trade.
Yeah.
Okay. And the curse and stuff like that, right? But if you think about it, for nearly 100 years, like 86 years, a rivalry is supposed to be like two different like camps that are like really close and they just beat the hell out of one another, right? You know? But it was very one-sided for 86 years.
Yeah.
The Yankees won 29 World Series and the Red Sox won zero. You know what I mean? The Yankees were always beating the Red Sox to go to the World Series. Mm-hmm. The Yankees had more more winning seasons. They had more Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? Like, in every way, the Yankees outdid the Red Sox by a whole lot. You know?
The Yankees dick slapped the Red Sox for
You know? You know? And then it's only a big rivalry because of the fans. And I guess, and I understand that that's important. That's a big reason, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you really look at the numbers, it wasn't close. Yeah. The Yankees killed Boston in the 20th century, you know what I mean? They killed them. Now, taking that into account, look at the Dodgers and Giants last century and even this so far this century, right? It's been pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Dodgers have won 6 World Championships. The Giants now have won, let's see, 8 World Championships. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dodgers have still won more National League pennants. Mm-hmm. It's always Dodgers and Giants coming down to the end of the season. Yeah. They're always knocking one each other out. I mean, you know what I mean? From the postseason, they both have historic franchises. They both move. This is how much, how big of a rivalry there is. The Dodgers were about to leave Brooklyn and go to California. And Giants were like, but don't go. I mean, you know, like, who else are we going to have a battle with? And then Dodgers were like, well, come with us. Come out west. And like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go out west, and we're still going to beat you. So they followed us across the country over 2,000 miles just so they can be with us. You know what I mean? That, not only is that, I mean, so, like, I always say, as much as I hate the Giants, I kind of love them, too. And this is why. Because without them, how fun would it be? You know what I mean? Like, our rivals could have been the Angels.
Yeah.
And that would have been boring. Yeah, that would have sucked. Angels. You know what I mean? That's not a rivalry. Yeah. You know what I mean? But the Giants, Dodgers, that's history. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's bigger than you and I. You know what I mean? You know, it's important, you know? There's hatred there, but at the same time, you got to love them because without them, you know, it would be boring, you know? Like I always tell John Woo, you know? Like, your life would be boring without me. You know what I mean? I make his life interesting, you know? So I gotta love the Giants because of that, you know? Like, so when you look at it that way, Dodgers and Giants are the greatest rivalry, and not only baseball. I'm going to say it in sports.
Damn, in sport, all of sports.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. But all right, sure.
Well, who would you say?
I don't know. There's other really big sports rivalries. There's Lakers Celtics. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
I would probably put the Giants Dodgers one above that one.
I mean, I don't know basketball too much, but is it one sided?
No, it's the Celtics have won 17 championships and the Lakers have won 16.
Well, that's pretty close. But how many times were they like? Did they play each other or knock one another out? You know what I mean? Like,
well, they're in different conferences, so they've only met up in the finals. And I think the Celtics probably have the winning record because Bill Russell was on the Celtics and he like destroyed the Lakers all throughout the 60s. But I think if you count after the Bill Russell era in the 60s, the Lakers have won. They've been trading back and forth because like in the 80s it was Magic and Bird.
Yeah.
And I think four of Magic's five championships came from against the Celtics, I think. Or three of five were against the Celtics, and maybe two of three of Larry Bird's championships were against the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Celtics won in 08 against the Lakers, and then the Lakers beat the Celtics in 2010. So yeah, it's pretty back and forth. I know for my dad, the Chivas America, have you ever heard of that?
It sounds familiar, but I'm pretty sure you told
me. Yeah, it's in Mexican soccer. Chivas is from Guadalajara, and América is from the Mexico City. That's a really big rivalry. It's called El Clásico when they play, the classic.
Mm-hmm.
It gets pretty crazy, dude. It's pretty intense. Like, it's intense to the fact that the fans really legitimately hate each other. It's not like Dodgers Giants, where you can go to Dodger Stadium as a Giants fan and 9 out of 10 times you'll be okay. Like in when they play each other, they put them in specific sections.
Okay, no,
so no matter your ticket, they're gonna put you in this one section because they don't want you to die.
I think you told me about that. I think you mentioned it before. Yeah,
they don't want you to get fucked up, which would happen if you're sitting amongst. And then also in soccer in Spain, Real Madrid versus Barcelona is a pretty big rivalry. I just know soccer, honestly, more than... and India, Pakistan, and cricket, right? That's like a big rivalry or some shit.
Oh, yeah. That's like a country rivalry. Yeah. It's like U.S. and Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a pretty big one, too. And hockey. And
yeah. Stuff. Okay, let me just go over a couple of numbers really quick, just to kind of more solidify my argument, right? Okay. Let's start with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Now, I don't have all the numbers. I'm just going to kind of read what kind of here, like, just kind of skim through things, right? So this is from about 1901, okay? Basically, it's 22 wins to one win for the Yankees over the Red Sox. You know what I mean? It's not very...
Wait, say the number again?
22 to 1.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's basically what it comes down to in statistics. You know what I mean? So that's not very if you're a Red Sox fan, you're getting the shit end of the stick in this rivalry.
Yeah,
you know
seriously.
What I mean? Now let's go to the Dodgers and Giants. Okay, so now there's a little more. So I'm gonna get a little more in detail here. Okay, these two teams, dating back to 1883,
that's a long time,
have met one another 2,464 times as of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is just the regular season, okay? But it's 1,239 wins for the Giants. Okay, so that's 1,239.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,208 wins for the Dodgers.
It's close.
It's very close. Okay, that's like less than
20 wins.
I don't know math, but someone out there will do it.
Oh, wait, no, it's like 100 wins or something?
No, because it's 1,239,
uh-huh.
1,208.
Oh, it's like 21?
Yeah, it's 21 wins.
Yeah.
21 games separate them. Okay. There's been 17 ties or rainouts because of them, you know?
Yeah.
Largest victory is 18 runs, 26-8, the Giants over the Dodgers in April 30th, 1944. Longest winning streak is Dodgers over the Giants. It doesn't really give a... Well, it says 10. July 12th through September 6th of 53. And the other one is 12 games for the Giants, October 2nd 37 to July 4th at 38. Dodgers have won 45 NL pennants. The Giants have won 30. It's not that close, I guess, you know. I mean, it's so close, you know.
It's a lot closer than the
Boston. Dodgers have met each other. You got to understand, because the pennant was the only postseason for a long time. Mm-hmm. There was never a round two, a round three, you know what I mean? You know, it was the pennant and then the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got to look at it that way. But the Dodgers have knocked they've knocked each other out of postseason play a total of 37 times. So, these two teams, you know, like, history has bonded them together, not only from Brooklyn and New York, but to San Francisco and Los Angeles. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I truly believe that the Dodgers and Yankees are the greatest rivalry. Dodgers and Giants are the greatest rivalry in baseball and probably sports.
In American sports? Or are you saying worldwide?
Well, I don't know worldwide sports. Yeah. I'll say American sports.
I would probably agree with that, because I don't really know much about football, but I don't really never heard of a big rivalry.
I don't think there's a rivalry in football. I mean, obviously there is probably, you know, but
I know college, though. It's fucking crazy. There's like big rivalries, like Alabama and someone else. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know.
But who cares about college? That's not real. They're not getting paid. Who cares? Okay, anyways. So I was going on Reddit earlier, like I always do, and there was like a thread that said like, oh, how would the U.S. be different if all of a sudden your mom became president? And my mom's fucking crazy. So I was like, so I thought for like 10 minutes, like, oh man, that'd be, she would last one term. She might get impeached for saying some crazy shit. But, I'm just curious, like what would you think, how do you think your mom would be as president?
That's a hard one, because
like, what laws do you think would change, like right away, like what executive orders do you think your mom would sign?
I'm trying to think what like my mom loves. My mom loves TV. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think. I love my mom, but it would probably be a one-term presidency, just because I don't know. I think it would be a boring 4 years.
Really? Dude, yeah. My mom would be like almost like Trump levels of news. Like the news cycle would be just grabbing quotes from, especially if they gave my mom fucking Twitter. Fuck no. Jesus Christ.
I think she'd appoint like weird people for positions in Washington, like Ellen DeGeneres would be something.
your mom?
Yeah. Okay. She'd appoint on one of the bachelors or something.
The bachelors.
She would probably appoint Chase Utley as her vice president, because she loves Chase Utley. She wanted me to, so like when we were doing our draft for our fantasy league, she's like, get Chase Utley. And like, mom, he doesn't even play every day. Like, that would be like a waste of a spot, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard with her, because I don't know. She doesn't really, I mean, she does a lot, you know, but there's nothing I could think of off the top of my head that would change the country, the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
So I think one of the first executive orders my mom would sign would be marijuana is legal in all 50 states. She would just federally like, nope, legal. Ha!
Wait, does your mom smoke?
No, but she enjoys the edibles quite a bit. Dude, there'd be edibles at Target. It would be like, it'd be nationwide. We would just be so stoned, all of us. Also, I think my mom would be the first president that they would not let have the nuclear codes, because my mom is petty as fuck.
You'd come home one day and then you like get her a little bit upset, and she's like, "It's over. Yeah. I'm ending it right now. Yeah. Everything."
She'd be like, "Give me the football." No, like, she'd be like, what did Kim Jong-un say? What did that motherfucker say? Give me the codes. Give me the football. Ah, man. My mom would be, like, the greatest slash worst president we've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I'm trying to think, like, who would she make her vice president?
Not your dad?
No. Dude, my dad would be, like, on Friday nights, he'd be out on the fucking White House lawn grilling, just blasting Vicente Fernandez. He'd be chilling, dude.
You know, honestly, I think that's what we need. I was watching the movie Lincoln the other day. You ever seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, about Daniel Day-Lewis one.
Yeah. And you know how, like, back in those days, you could literally just walk up to the White House, knock on the door, and go, oh, you gotta come in, you know, and you want to talk to the president, whatever, you know? I think that's what we need, and I get it. It'll never happen again. But we need like a president that's out in the front yard, like with his like chef hat. And he's like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, we need that. You know, we need someone that's more us,
more of the people.
Yeah, you know, like we haven't really had that in such a long time. I mean, Obama. Maybe I'm biased because I'm liberal, but I feel like he was kind of like down to earth.
Yeah.
But you can
imagine, like, Obama grilling some fucking bomb-ass hot dogs.
Yeah. Like, burgers. He went to basketball games.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that, you know? Like, he was, he played basketball in the backyard of the White House, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, he was kind of more down to earth, you know what I mean? I don't know what Trump does. What does he do? Like, golf?
Golf, yeah.
That's like a rich man sport.
Fuck, he's over there
with his his golf fat man pants and, you know, and his little, like, this beret and that little fuzzy thing on top of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean, but, but I think we need someone more like.
To my dad as vice president, like, would just be walking around the White House with his tool bag and like open the door. It's all creaky. He's like, oh shit. Bust out his tool and start like fix all the squeaky door. The White House would have the no squeaky doors.
That's another good like topics like segue. How different would Washington be if, let's say, there was like not just a Hispanic family in the White House, but like a hardcore Hispanic family,
like super paisa,
like they had an accent, yeah, paisas, you know, and they had the accent, you know, like, I mean, how that it would be funny, you know what I mean? But, like, again, they were, like, old school, you know, like, how would that look? I mean, like you said, you know, like, barbecuing, whatever, you know what I mean? But, like,
the limo would be a big truck.
Yeah.
Probably a Toyota Tacoma or a Ford F-150.
He's like, everybody get in the bed. Lay down so we don't get pulled over.
There'd be a Mexican fruit guys. Oh, everywhere, yeah. Legally.
Raspado man and elote man. Yeah.
You know what? It sucks when you see an elote guy getting busted by the cops, dude.
Yeah.
Guy's just trying to make a living.
I know, dude. And he's doing a service.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone loves elote.
I know.
yeah. I want that to be... Dude, that another thing my mom would legalize. She would sign an executive order. Eloteros are perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal.
She'd make it easy for them to get permits. That's more of a city thing. It's not really presidential thing.
She's overstepping her.
But you know what? No, my mom's petty, dude. She would get involved in little shit like that.
She's they're like all like Madam President. But North Korea did something. That's like, not now. We're talking about the elotes right now.
Yeah. Mom's like, why does my elote guy get busted? Mom's like, he would come by the house every day at 3 o'clock.
Breaking news, Washington has abruptly shut down due to the fact that Madam President is making tamales this week. That would be like...
No, just, dude, my mom would be like, fuck you, you make your tamales. I got a country to run. Dude, my mom would... Oh, my God. She would say some outrageous shit about, like, immigrants, illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Like
the Hispanic community would turn.
See, like, so, you know, like, you're looking at the White House. There's like the flagpole with the American flag, but then hanging from one of the windows is the Mexican flag. You know,
dude, my mom would be like, She'd like ramp up the fucking ICE things. Mom would be like, fuck illegals, goddamn wetbacks, get back to Mexico. The Hispanic community would turn, dude.
That would be awesome, too. Like, when every time the president lands or whatever, and it's like the Air Force band we're playing, but in this time it's like mariachis. And
no, I wonder what a Hail to the Chief would sound like, but mariachi style.
Wait, how does Hail to the Chief go? Dun, 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 oh, yeah. Dun, dun. Well, would it be mariachi or paisa?
Well, if it's my mom, it's mariachi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do the horn that you...
I know, but I'm trying to figure out, like, I can't...
You're on the spot.
I'm trying to... No, well, but I'm trying to think of the melody, but also yeah. change the melody to make it more, you know, like... We should just hire a mariachi band for that. Hey, yeah. I'll be like, play this song, but make it your own.
So, WrestleMania's coming up.
When?
Sunday the 8th. When was the last time you saw WrestleMania?
This month? Of April?
Yeah.
Wow.
April 8th. When was the last time you saw WrestleMania?
It wasn't that long ago, like maybe about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's long, but
when was the last time you saw one that you were into?
Or was it Royal Rumble? I don't know. Because I used to go over to Ken's house all the time because he would always buy that stuff. But mm-hmm. I don't know if it was WrestleMania or something else. But it might have been WrestleMania. I haven't been into it, and like I remember being little and watching like The Undertaker, and what was that one big Asian guy?
Yokozuna,
and like he threw him into his casket.
Yeah,
yeah. Was that WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was WrestleMania. Yeah,
I remember that one. That was awesome, dude. I was like, yeah. I mean,
I got the. Well, I've always just used my brother's WWE Network. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been watching like old WCW stuff that I sort of remember watching.
Uh huh.
And a lot of it's like, fuck, this is bad. But a lot of it is great. Do you ever see the Shockmaster?
Sounds familiar. I probably
debut.
Did.
It's a guy with a sparkly stormtrooper helmet on. He comes out and he like.
Wait, is this recent?
No, this is 30 years ago.
It
probably.
Sounds familiar, but I don't remember a stormtrooper helmet.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna play it for you. No. I'm gonna play his debut. I want everyone to look up Shockmaster debut. He was supposed to be like the next big thing,
uh-huh.
And his debut got fucked up. But it's really funny. Once this ad's over, goddamn ads.
As promised.
So this is Lex Luger, a giant tan blonde man yelling. And that's Ric Flair. And that's Sting talking right now. Oh wait, that's Ric Flair, sorry.
Who's that? The
Lex,
blonde hair?
That's Lex Luger. Oh, no, Sid Vicious, sorry.
I was like, Lex Luthor?
No, Sid Vicious. Is it Sid? I don't fucking remember these guys' names, dude.
Wait, has he come out yet?
No, hold on, you'll see. You won't miss it, dude.
Oh, look at the heck. Andy, what the heck just happened?
He fell.
I don't remember this guy.
This is WCW in like early 90s.
Oh, that's probably why. I don't think I saw much WCW. Is he talking or is he trying to talk? But the.
No, you'll hear him.
So you're the man that rules the world. They call me the Shockmaster. You've ruled the world long enough, Sid Vicious.
That's not him talking.
It's like some guy in the back.
Yes, guy in the back.
You want a piece of me? Come and get me. Come after me, Sid. I'm ready. Along with Davy Boy, Sting, and Dusty Rhodes, we'll see you at the Fall Brawl at the War Games. Until then.
Okay, so the Shockmaster was like this fat guy with a glittery silver stormtrooper helmet on.
I'm surprised they got away with that. Yeah, but okay.
And he, when he's supposed to make his big debut, he's like popping through a wall. But I guess someone reinforced it with a beam on the bottom and didn't tell the guy. So he just eats shit when he pops out of the wall. And his helmet just comes right off.
And I did notice that. And then he's like making sure not to look up because he's the one to show his face.
Yeah. And he puts it on. He just shakes his head a couple times. Oh,
that's a great intro. Now that I noticed
that was like his only match after the Fall Brawl or whatever. It petered out real fast.
Yeah,
I don't think that. That was a stupid character anyways, but the whole falling and eating it in front of everyone.
I mean, I kind of get what they were trying to go for, and I get it, and that was kind of ahead of its time, I guess.
Yeah, no, dude, it's bad. It's bad. Do you remember WWE themes? Like, the entrance? Because, like, the entrance theme was, like, half the fucking... It's, like, half the entertainment, dude.
If this would have been a long time ago, then yeah, I would have, but, I mean, I probably know some. Why, are we going to do a test?
Do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's see if you remember any of these.
I know I've heard it.
You want to guess?
Wait. Is it a solo or a tag team?
Solo.
It's not Bret Hart, is it?
It is.
Oh, Kobe! Or Donald, whatever you want
to say. Donald.
Yeah, remember that one clip when he was like throwing paper towels?
Oh, yeah.
It's for him,
yeah.
Dude. So now whenever I say like Kobe, instead of Kobe, I go Donald.
Okay, what about this one?
Is this Gold Dust?
Gold Dust.
It was? Yeah. Oh, man.
Look at you.
I know. 2 for 2 so far.
I lost my page. Hold on.
I'm holding, dude. I don't know about our listeners.
Yeah, hold on. Okay, what about this one? What about this one? If you don't get this, by the way, I'm going to slap you.
This is Doink the Clip. Oh, this is Undertaker. Come on, dude.
Okay, about this one.
It's what's his name? Shawn Michaels, right?
Yes.
But what's his name, though?
The Heartbreak
Kid. Yeah, the Heartbreak Kid. Yeah.
Just a sexy boy.
I used
sexy
to hate Shawn Michaels, dude, because I was a big Bret Hart fan. And I don't
really?
Know, yeah.
I love Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart was like, whatever.
I remember that one match, though, between... Was it them two? Like, that ladder match? Like, mm-hmm. The all-time best whatever?
I think it's a Scott Hall ladder match? Shawn Michaels,
Oh,
Scott
maybe.
Hall?
Maybe. Like, didn't his pants, like get pulled down a little bit or something like that?
Dude, I don't remember.
I remember that.
I was like, two.
Because that was a nice ass, dude.
God, it was tight. Let's see. Okay.
NWA. Oh, Razor Ramon?
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
You're like way better at this than you
thought.
I know.
I didn't think I would get all these people.
I
like this one. This is a song that I would just have like as like my background life music, just walking around town, whatever.
Okay, you'll know this one.
Oh man, this is hard. You know what? This is the hardest one, but I always say Triple H.
No.
Who is it?
It's NWO.
Oh, okay. See,
you
I
said
think
it earlier.
I think this is starting where I kind of started to slowly check out.
Yeah.
Was the NWO era? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. What about my last one?
I am a real American. Oh, Kurt Angle. No? Or Hulk Hogan? Yeah, dude.
This is so cheesy, but it's so great.
Yeah.
So me and my brother don't like Hulk Hogan, right?
Why?
We just never cared for him. We thought he was like slow and just like old our whole lives. And like he was kind of supposedly like an asshole and we just never cared for him.
Okay.
And me and my brother went to SummerSlam 2014 or 15, one of those years. When that last time was at the Staples Center. And it was the year Hulk Hogan came back to WWE. And he opened the show. Like, just like we're just sitting there and all of a sudden you just hear. And me and my brother both hate Hulk Hogan, but we're both like, ah! Still like, I saw Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because was it expected or no?
They advertised that he was going to be there.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't think we knew he was going to like come out right away.
Right away, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't wrestling or anything, but he just came out and just like, you know, he just did the ear thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His like fucking pose. And he was like, what's up, brother? And just like started talking to the crowd. Just told everybody to remember to subscribe to the WWE Network, brother, for like $9.99 or whatever. That's it. Like, that's all he came out to do.
And he made $1 million.
And everyone was like, ah, like the whole time. And my brother's like, I hate Hulk Hogan. Fuck, like, why did I get so excited when he came out? Fuck that guy.
He's a legend, dude. You have to give him that.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that's why I don't watch it anymore is because, like, I loved the characters
yeah,
in the really, 90s
yeah.
And even before then. But now I feel like I don't know, these characters now, I just don't feel anything for yeah. them, you know? I mean, I did like The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, John Cena. I'm like, pfft. Like, he seems boring to me, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's not like she's not the most electrifying man in
sports
know.
Entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, cool. And I don't know who is now. I mean, like, I don't know him now, but there's nobody that I think I can look at and go, oh man, yeah, that guy's like so freaking awesome. Like, I just
don't care.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Okay, last one. All right, if you don't get this, I'm throwing my mic at you and we're done. So no pressure.
Oh, come on, dude. Ric Flair.
Sorry, I just love Ric Flair so much. He might be my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I think so. If you know, if so anyone good. Knows you. Woo! Would that be, like, can you know how I was saying how, like, my one guess would be Vince Scully. Who would your one guess be?
Oh, man. See, like, I'd want to say Ric Flair, but, like, what am I going to talk to Ric Flair about?
Like, remember that one
what
match?
What do me and Ric Flair have in common? Although I think he would fucking have... Have you seen his documentary, Nature Boy? The 30 for 30
no,
ESPN one?
No.
Oh, dude, it's so good. But he has so many stories that I would fucking die hearing.
Like, what do you mean?
Like he's like, like, there's one part of the documentary talks about how he, like, wakes up in his hotel room and there's, like, a naked girl next to him, which is, like, in Ric Flair's life. That's
which
that's
is, like,
Tuesday.
All of our dreams. Yeah.
And,
Tuesday.
And Ric Flair's like, hey, honey, where's my Rolex? And she's like, oh, you don't remember? And he's like, what? And she's like, last night at dinner, you took off your Rolex and you threw it in a plate of spaghetti. And you're like, it's all right, baby. I got 20 of these. It's like, dude. He's like, I had to go back to the restaurant and, you know, looked through the trash and I got my Rolex back. And you're like, fuck, dude. See, he would tell that story here, I would fucking die.
Wait, so like he didn't have 20?
No, he did, but I mean, it's but still he just a
wanted that one back.
$20,000 watch. You're going to go get that shit back.
If I'm Ric Flair, I don't care.
And there's like stories like he's like, you know, he's like, oh, I was on a plane. Sorry, if you haven't heard Ric Flair talking recently, I am doing a great impression of him. I just want everyone to know. He's like, he's like, one time I was on a plane and I had my Nature Boy robe on the hangar or whatever. And he's like,
not wearing it.
No. And the stewardesses were like, trying to get him to put it on. He's like, all right, baby, but if I put on the robe, there's nothing underneath. And so he was just fucking strutting and wooing like with his fucking Flair robe on in the jet, no clothes on. And he banged one of the stewardesses.
Yeah, dude, that's the life we all wish we had, you know? Like,
he's the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, you know, son of a gun, dude. He's just...
Like, could you imagine if that was your life? Like, seriously, like... I mean, but, you know, like... I mean, it is 2018 now, so I don't know. I mean, like...
That was definitely of its time.
I mean, now, like, let's say if someone like Kevin Spacey tried doing that, I mean, it would be all over the news, but not in a positive light, you know?
For some reason, I just imagine Kevin Spacey talking like Ric Flair. He's like, all right, so I got five boys then.
I bet you he could do a spot on Ric Flair. Great impressionist.
Dude, I feel like Kevin Spacey would have us like cracking up with his impressions. But then I'm like, oh yeah, wait a minute, you're a pedophile. Like, what are we doing here? But he's like, hold on, hear my Christopher Walken. And we're like, all right.
speaking of that, there's like a video on YouTube of like Dave Grohl being interviewed. And they ask, let me play that one, but they ask him about, I guess, like, they met Christopher Walken, and dude, he does an awesome Christopher Walken. So basically what happened was, they were doing SNL one year, and the same day they were doing SNL as the musical guest, the guest host was Christopher Walken.
Wow.
And he wanted to know how to say their name.
Uh-huh.
And so this is.
There was once when we did Saturday Night Live, and Christopher Walken was the host.
Amazing.
And he comes up and he's like, he said, he asked us if the accent was on Foo or Fighters. And we know who he is. Like, of course, we know how he speaks. And we said, the accent is on Fighters, actually. So he goes up.
How did he ask you? How did he ask you?
I'm not going to say that.
I did.
Because because he goes up, he's like, ladies and gentlemen. Foo Fighters. Because I knew that's what happened. I was like, don't say, most people say Foo Fighters, but the way Christopher Walken says it, Foo Fighters.
That's great. I've never heard you do that voice before.
Mm. Oh, he was good.
See, now I want you to tell me the story of how he asked you.
he just came up and he's like, he just asked. He said, the accent, is it on Foo or Fighters? And I said, I think it's on Fighters. He's like, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry.
That's great, though.
That's
dude.
Actually like low key a great.
No, that's a great impression, dude. Foo Fighters. I wish I could do it. I can't. I can't do Christopher Walken. That's like, if I could do one impression, it would be you, Christopher Walken. You know what I mean? Is it on? I can't do it. Foo Fighters.
I remember what time in school we, for some reason, like half the class just decided to start doing a fucking Christopher Walken impression. Like, it was like a project and we're all like walking around and everyone's like, wow, hey, can you pass me that or whatever? And it's like, it just stuck, and like a whole fucking week we could not stop doing Christopher Walken and it seeped into my regular life. I'm like, wow, cat, wow.
See, now like doing if I were president, I would pick a day. It would be National Christopher Talk Like Christopher Walken Day, but I would make sure that the day I chose was the day of the State of the Union. So I'm out there on national TV. I would do the State of the Union as Christopher Walken.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I can't do it.
I can't do it. I know. Another one I would like to be able to do too would be Norm MacDonald.
Oh, I can't do that. But I loved Norm MacDonald.
Oh yeah, dude.
When he's like on Conan or whatever, I'm fucking dying just watching.
Who does a good impression of him is Jay Mohr from SNL too. Yeah, he does like a really good impression of him. But yeah, I would love to do Christopher Walken and Norm MacDonald. Those are my two people that I would love to do.
I just love his like his delivery.
Yeah, whatever, you know. Look at that. So I can't do it. Yeah.
Wait, he did this. Let me try to find it. It's he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And dude, I don't want to say what he said. We already make enough jokes about Kevin Spacey. But it's funny when he says it.
Wait, was this prior or after?
No, this is Bill. He's talking about Bill Cosby. And oh, this is after.
Now, do you think Cosby's legacy will be hurt?
Yeah.
You do, huh? I mean, there was a comedian, Patton Oswalt, he told me, I think the worst part of the Cosby thing was the hypocrisy. And I disagreed.
You disagree with that?
Yeah. I thought it was the raping. That's my feeling, most rapists are hypocrites. You don't meet many go, I like raping, and I know it's not politically correct, but by God, people go, well, he's not being a hypocrite, and that's the worst part.
He is one of the great comedians, man, of our time. he does a joke too about like the Nazis and Hitler. I think I told you this before. Where like he's like, yeah, you know, like it was the world versus Germany, and it was pretty close. You know, like they almost won. They almost beat the world.
Norm MacDonald, dude. Imagine if we had him on.
Oh yeah,
we would just be fucking cracking up. Love that guy.
It would be an awesome like lineup to have like all of them like from that era, like because they're all really good friends.
Yeah.
So I think they would all be trying to one up one another. You know, like Sandler, him, Jay Mohr, David Spade.
Still funny?
No, but I think again they have stories about one another. You know, that would just, you know, it's like a bunch of friends hanging out. You know what I mean? Like I think that would be really good. Rob Schneider, David Spade. You know, I mean, because I would have loved to have Chris Farley too, but that's not gonna happen. You know what I mean? But so
he's dead.
Yeah.
But I feel like when he's on Conan, it's like when he's really on, because I feel like Conan brings out the best in him, because Conan plays like a really good straight man to whatever the fuck Norm MacDonald's about to say.
I mean, it's not only that he plays a straight man. I think legitimately he doesn't know exactly what to expect from Norm MacDonald.
It's whenever like Bill Burr is on Conan, it's also really good.
Yeah.
You ever watched the...
I don't really know him too well, but I know, I mean, I know he's funny. I know some of his stuff, you know. Like, my brother's more into, like, those comedians, you know. Like, I'm more of, like, the more, like, I guess old school comedians. That, like, you know, like them or, like, Steve Martin, Martin Short. Like, I know them really well, you know.
You like the Three Amigos?
Oh, I just watched it the other day.
What's the what's the salute
thing? It's like I mean, you can't see me doing it, of course, but I'm thrusting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they do the thrust.
Yeah, they do the thrust.
I remember, for some reason, how was it? Oh yeah, we're in Big Bear, and it was me and my mom, my brother, and Kat, and my dad was already asleep because he's an old man, and he got drunk, and we're like. They have like a bunch of VHSs there, right? Uh-huh. Like looking through the VHSs, and I was like, "Oh, they have the Three Amigos," and Kat's like, "Put that on."
Yeah, dude.
And so I put it on, and we may or may not have been under the influence of a certain controlled substance that's legal in California. But dude, we're fucking just dying watching that fucking movie.
No, it's one of the. Like that whole era. Because that whole era. some movies with those comedians.
Yeah.
Like that movie. Do you remember The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd? Another great one.
Oh, wait. Is that the one where he has like a giant steak?
Yeah. Okay, and and at the end of the movie, like this bear comes into their like cabin.
Sort of remember that movie.
That's a good movie. Stripes?
I didn't like that one.
You didn't like Stripes,
I don't
dude?
Like Stripes.
One of the best comedic lines
Say it.
Okay, is when Bill Murray and Harold Ramis go into like the recruiting center, and then because the military recruiter guys all like, "Are you homosexual?" He's like, "No, but we are willing to learn." You know, like it's great. You know what I mean?
But okay, I know this is probably gonna piss you off. Just get ready. All right, I've seen these three movies. Okay, just be ready. Okay, I've seen Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Caddyshack.
Uh-huh.
I've seen Animal House.
Wait, just stop.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I didn't like any of them. Didn't think any of them were funny.
I think we're going to lose listeners. It doesn't make sense. Okay, Stripes, I can get. It's a little more kind of like acquired taste.
Sure.
Caddyshack is one of the most iconic legendary comedians.
Rodney Dangerfield made me laugh, but that's
bad. Yeah. And then Animal House, that's like American cinema institution.
Nope. Didn't care for it. Sorry.
Why?
I don't know. It just didn't hit.
Like what the horse dying in the principal's office?
It just didn't
or
get to me.
That part where John Belushi is walking down the stairs and the guy's singing that song to the girls and he grabs his guitar and then smashes up against the wall. Oops. Or none of that?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not mad. I feel sorry for your soul.
I thought you were going to say, I'm just disappointed.
No. I don't know.
Love Ghostbusters.
Yeah, again, that era.
The same
great,
generation.
Yeah, great movie.
I don't know why, but what about those three movies? I don't get it.
I could watch Caddyshack and Animal House and laugh
the
whole time.
Are those
dude.
National Lampoon movies?
The only one that's National Lampoon is...
Animal House.
I think Animal House... yeah, I think that's
it. I love Christmas Vacation and Vacation and
European kind of sucked. I didn't like that one.
Nah,
that much.
I still think that one's
I liked the first one, just
and the
regular
first
Vacation
one.
And then Christmas Vacation. I like those two. What else?
I don't
is
know
there?
What it is about those three movies.
You've never seen Meatballs, huh?
Meatballs?
It's a Bill Murray film, and they're like at a camp.
No.
It's a pretty good one. It's not as funny as the other ones because mm-hmm. Bill Murray's in it, but it's not about him. It's about a kid, you know? But all those movies, though, that era, though, I love that era. I love all those movies.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I have to give him another shot. I don't know.
Animal House, definitely.
That's the one I just saw like a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That recently? Oh, man.
Yeah, that recently. Caddyshack... It's been a long time. Maybe I should give that one another shot. Stripes is like 10 years ago.
Did you like Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
I know that's not the same type of like comedy as the other ones, but it's Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's why I brought up Ghostbusters. I'm like, it's the same dudes.
Yeah, that's the one that broke up their friendship though. But
Groundhog Day?
Yeah, they were like really close friends. They worked together a lot, and they worked together on Groundhog Day. Bill Murray was the actor, and Harold Ramis was the writer and director. And they had a falling out while filming that movie, and because of that, we didn't get a Ghostbusters 3.
Wait, what was the falling out over?
Bill Murray was showing up late a lot of the times, a lot of the days for filming.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harold Ramis is kind of went up to me like, "Hey, like we need you to like to be here. Like we need to get this film done."
He's the star.
Yeah, and from what I understand, Bill Murray was a little more at this time frame in his career was kind of being more or less like a diva.
Uh-huh.
And when Harold Ramis called him out on it, Bill Murray didn't like that, and he's the type that holds a grudge, and he literally held the grudge all the way up until Harold Ramis was going to pass away. And then on his deathbed, they made up, well, he apologized or whatever. I don't know how that went exactly, but it was because of that. And there were even interviews asking about that. Like, they asked Harold Ramis, like, before all that, and, like, before he passes away, you know, mm-hmm. about it. And he's like, yeah, this is what happened, you know. And he's like, he hasn't talked to me since. So it was more of on Bill Murray's side, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the only thing I wish Bill Murray would have done differently in his life. You know what I mean?
Do you think does he even think about that one? Like, feel bad? He's like, fuck.
I don't know.
Why did I hold on to that? Right when he died, he was like, fuck. Like, that was, like, insignificant. It meant nothing. It was nothing.
Because for, like, a decade, they were trying to get Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
And it was always Bill Murray
being
the one that was holding it back. And it was on the down low. And if you think about it, like, at that time, early in those days, there wasn't a TMZ.
Yeah.
So, like, that stuff was, like, nobody knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, like, later on did it kind of come out. And then it wasn't until, like, literally, like, he was about to die did they realize, oh, you know, like, it's because Bill Murray and Harold Ramis haven't talked, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, oh, that's why they haven't made a movie together in so long, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's... I mean, I'm sure there was other factors to the movie not being made, but it was definitely Bill Murray, like, who held the making of a third film from happening. Because if he had wanted to, they would have made a three. Yeah. You know, if Bill Murray walks in and says, "Hey, Ivan Reitman and all them," he's like, "Hey, we're making a part three." What are they going to do? Say no?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Of course they're going to say yes.
And the studio would be like, the dollar signs would be in their eyes.
Here's the blank check. Do whatever you got to do, guys. You know? So. Could you imagine, though, like, how great that would have been?
Well, they had the video game, Ghostbusters, the video game.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be, like, the spiritual part three.
Yeah.
And they had all three original actors doing the voices.
Well, four of them, right? Because Winston.
Oh, yeah, four.
There's four of them. Whatever, don't forget the black guy.
Sorry, Cedric. They had the four original actors and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Dan Aykroyd was super involved in the making of that game. And was like, he used what his plans for three was. He put in the game.
Yeah,
some of those, like, plot lines.
That's always going to be, like, one of the biggest what ifs in movie history, because, like, we always talk about, like, great movie franchises, like Star Wars and Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park even, or whatever, you know what I mean? But then Ghostbusters ended after two.
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, it could have just had two installments, but it'll always be unfinished to me. You know, it should always that should have been one of the greatest movie trilogies of all time, you know? Sad, dude. It's sad.
I mean, you have that, or you can have it that way where it's two great movies and that's it. Or you could have, like, Indiana Jones
Part 4 and possibly a 5. No,
I mean, I didn't hate Part 4, but I could do without it.
I just wish they would have stuck with what they had done in the past and a lot more practical effects. Yeah. You know,
because
you could definitely tell.
Yeah, I remember the first movie when they're in the warehouse and it's like all the CGI. I was like, really? But the whole thing was all practical effects. Like, what the fuck is this?
And I get it. Like they're trying to, like, push boundaries of like storytelling.
I didn't need that.
I get it, you know, but I think they should leave it up to original films that are more recent and let those films still be practical effects, because I think us fans, like, it means something to us when they see a big ass boulder coming out Indiana Jones.
And you can't make an argument like, oh, well, it's cheaper. True, but Christopher Nolan does all practical stuff, and he gets the funding for that. You don't think they would have given Spielberg a fucking blank ass check?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm making another Indiana Jones movie, all practical effects. Give me my money.
I mean, like, did they honestly believe that if they had spent all that money on practical effects that they wouldn't have made it back?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, you know that one scene that irks me in the fourth film is when they had those big giant ants?
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
To me, it looks so fake.
Yeah.
You know? But if they would have had a bunch of Muppet ants, I would be like, yeah, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, I don't know. Or that one scene where, like, he's swinging from the vines.
Oh, yeah. That was not great.
Yeah. Like, what? Like,
well, when you think about all three, was it all three of them? Oh, yeah. All three had creature scene, right? Raiders had the snakes and the Well of Souls. Like, I think that was like half real snakes and half like rubber snakes.
Yeah.
And some like I think it was like robot snakes or whatever. But it was mostly real snakes. And then the
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom had the bugs.
The bugs.
Which were real.
That was crazy, yeah.
And Last Crusade had the rats.
Only the rats, but even in the intro to the film, it had like a whole train of certain animals.
Oh, yeah, the whole fucking train of creatures. And I think most of those were real, right? Yeah, I think even the viper thing that comes out of the water and looks at him, that's real.
Yeah.
And, I just don't get why they strayed away from that. I don't fucking get it. Spielberg was old and just got lazy. He's like, fuck. You know how long that fucking scene took to film with the fucking circus animals? It took like 2 months.
And I don't even mind like mocap, like motion capture.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's even that's okay. Because, I mean, it's still, I guess, in a way, a practical effect because you're just, because you're using a real person behind that image. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I think the fourth installment would have been a lot different if they would have gone that way, and I would have looked at the movie
differently. Yeah.
Not only because it looks different, like you could tell things are fake, but because it's more of like, I guess, my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to talk something real fast, and then we'll finish this because we're getting long. Okay. So George Lucas came under a bunch of fire because they redid, you know, when they re-released the original trilogy, he added all that bullshit to it. I like the way they did it in Indiana Jones, and I wish they would have done that with Star Wars instead of going crazy with the fucking computer stuff, like the CGI. In Indiana Jones, they didn't make any of the effects like CGI. So, like, remember that scene where he falls in the Well of Souls and he's looking at the snake and it's, like, right in front of him? And there's, like, that shot where you're looking at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're seeing the back of the snake and he's like, fuck. Like, if you watch it, the original VHS of that, you can see the reflection.
On the meter.
It's a glass. The glass pane. Yeah, that was a real snake that they really had in front of Harrison Ford. And that he's staring at, but there was a sheet of glass. You can see a reflection of the glass in the original like movies or whatever. But like I have the Blu-ray somewhere. But in the Blu-rays and the DVDs, they took out that. They just did little touch-ups, like taking out the reflection. That's fine. That's perfect. I don't care about that.
Yeah,
like that makes it better. I don't mind stuff like that, but when you like change fucking things and like add shit that wasn't there before,
or change a story like Han not shooting first,
or the whole weird Jabba the Hutt scene that they put in there, like when they have to digitally like make Harrison Ford jump on his tail or whatever, unnecessary. Why? Like, what was the point? That just pisses me off.
No, yeah, you're right,
and it's. What's weird is it's still George Lucas that handled the Indiana Jones stuff. And he didn't do anything to it other than like touch up.
But I wonder if Steven Spielberg had a lot to say though.
Yeah, like, maybe not. Yeah, he's like, let's not do that. But then Spielberg also did what they took out the guns in E.T., right? And they added walkie talkies.
They did?
You don't remember that?
I think you're right, yeah.
But I think was only for the 1999 release or whatever.
But if you think about it though, did the guns, were they really that? I mean, were they really that important to the actual, like, story?
No, but it was unnecessary.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. Just leave shit alone, dude. Just leave stuff alone. Little touch-ups is fine.
Like with Disney wanting to change, like, that auction scene in Pirates of the Caribbean?
You know what? I actually don't mind that.
Really? I mean,
things have to change.
But that's the way it was, though.
No, that's fine. No, I get that.
We're not making it, you know, like, we're changing. I mean, I know it's not history, you know, but I mean, it's a little more historically correct.
Like my brother, says, like, dude, they used to sell bitches back then.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I mean, use it as like a teaching tool. You know what I mean? Like, pirates aren't good people. Yeah. You know,
it's not called Good Guys of the Caribbean.
that would be a cool ride, though.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, I get that. I don't hate change as much as.
I don't hate change either, but kind of like you said, though, like,
why?
Why? Like,
why that?
Because you don't want to, like,
you don't want to trigger somebody, dude.
I guess, you know, but it's just. I mean, now kids are going to grow up thinking, I want to be a pirate because, you know, like, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I wouldn't have changed it, but I get why.
No, I mean, I understand why too, you know, but I'm just like, oh my God, these pansies.
I am going to kind of miss that. We want the redhead.
Yeah, you know.
By a wench. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is, dude. Yeah,
it may always got a little chuckle out of me.
Uncle Walt approved.
He's like, I want the redhead. All right.
So before we go, again, for if you're still with us this episode, email us at talkittomepodcast@gmail.com. Send us any suggestions. Oh, happy birthday, Leo. It was his birthday yesterday. Did you wish him a happy birthday?
No.
You didn't, you son of a bitch. Okay.
Fuck that guy.
I called him and I sang to him happy birthday in my best Marilyn Monroe voice. Yeah, so I think it turned him on a little bit. Anyway. So all right. That's pretty much it. This is episode 11.
You know, let's end it the way we started it.
Yeah, shall we?
Look at that mountain. Look at those trees. Look at that bum over there.